Let's take your calls with our special guest, Kevin Tedeschi, as we talk about the life of Edgar Casey. The latest book is called Edgar Casey on Angels. We'll be right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast, our final hour with Kevin Tedeschi, as we talk about the life of Edgar Casey on Angels. Kevin, did you want to wrap up what we were talking about with that Earth map of the United States?
All I was saying was that he had this dream where he's born on the Nebraska, which was the West Coast. He gave a reading on the dream, and the reading said that although the heaven and earth be removed, your work would survive. In other words, even though he was just arrested for practicing medicine without a license, his work would survive very, very much longer than after he died. It was not about earth changes. It was not about Nebraska being the coastline. So I think a lot of the Casey information on quote-unquote earth changes has been taken out of context.
Did he ever get accused of being a fraud or anything like that, where they went after him?
Early on, when he was still in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, Dr. Ketchum, Wesley Ketchum, was the first doctor who was interested in working with him, an MD, and he brought him before some of the other doctors in the area, the local Kentucky area, and had Casey put himself to sleep in a trance and actually tune in to other patients. And while he was doing that, some of the doctors were convinced that this was a fraud, and so one of them took a knife and tried to pry off Edgar Casey's fingernail to see if it would wake him up. Another took a pin and put it through his cheek to see if he would wake up.
Jeez.
And he did not wake up. And when he woke up, of course, then he had all this horrible pain. But the doctors at the time had a really hard time with the fact that someone could put himself to sleep and tune into someone at a distance. So he was called a fraud by some of his peers. But when they listened to what he had to say, like Ketchum, he was accurate over and over and over again.
And that must have mind-boggled those doctors.
Yeah, it didn't work, fit into their worldview. It didn't have an explanation.
How many members are at ARE now?
We have we have so many different activities. We got 23,000 members of ARE in Virginia Beach, but we got Edgar Casey centers in 30 countries. So, like, there's another 1,000 members in Tokyo that are not necessarily a part of ARE. I was just did a program at the Edgar Casey Center in Australia last month, and I'm going to go to the Edgar Casey Center in Japan in July. So we got things all over the place.
Kevin, if he came back, what would you like to ask him?
That is a great question. I would like to ask him for global help on solving our climate change issue, because I think that is going to be one of the biggest things we're going to have to deal with collectively as a human family.
I would love to ask him, tell me more about who you're going to in this dream state, sleep state, that is helping you out. How is it being done?
Yeah, that would be an interesting question.
Yeah, it sure is. Was he a believer in God or a higher power?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he was very much interested in how each of us could have a close personal relationship with the divine. And so that's why there's so much information on how to meditate, how to work with prayer. We have a prayer group that Edgar Casey started when he was alive that's still going on to this day. It meets every Wednesday at ARE. So there's a wealth of insights and information for people to have their own personal experience with the divine.
Let's go to the phones and get things rolling here. Let's go to Barbara. And Barbara, where are you? North Carolina. Go ahead.
Carolina Beach.
There
North
you
Carolina.
Go. Okay, great. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm on the air already?
Yep, you sure are.
Okay. I wanted to find out, I wanted to ask Kevin about medical advice. Is there medical advice that is available at ARE at this time?
Absolutely. In fact, if you go to edgarcasey.org and type on the upper right-hand side of the page, there's a search box. You can type in whatever illness you want research on, and we have over 400 treatment protocols that are based on the Casey readings. Everything from asthma to varicose veins, you can see what Edgar Casey had to say about treatment, all for free on our website.
It's amazing. It truly is remarkable. I've gone to that site numerous times, Kevin. I even have a couple books of Casey's and in his readings. I mean, the guy was incredible.
He was incredible. And lots of people don't know this, but we actually have a spa, a health center and spa in Virginia Beach that basically does all kinds of health-related activities. We do almost everything except surgery. So whether you want to see a chiropractor or have acupuncture or steam or a massage or regression. We do it all.
How many books have you personally written about the Casey?
More than 25.
Wow.
So when you've got 10,000 topics to deal with, there's quite a wealth of information. And as I said earlier on the program, if listeners want to go to edgarcasey.org/coasttocoast, they will give your listeners a copy of the new book if they join ARE at a discount.
Well, while you're such a great guest, it's because you really have a passion for this, and you could tell.
It has been the strongest motivating influence in my life for more than 40 years. And we've talked before about someday you've got to come to ARE and broadcast.
I know that. I've got to get down there.
You've got to. It's a great place. We've got, you know, we got the facilities. We got everything you would need.
Cornelius is in Alexandria, Louisiana. Welcome to the program. Hi, Cornelius.
Hi, George, and your guests. Boy, I'm really enjoying this. My dad's from Lexington, Kentucky, and he always heard about Edgar Casey in Hoxsonville, Kentucky. So he had known about him. I wanted to ask your guests, if he didn't mind. I used to get a lot of ARE stuff used to come to my house, and for some reason they stopped sending it. So do they have, like, a telephone number? Because I'm not online or anything like that. If they have a telephone number, give it out at the end of the show and stuff, because I'd like to get some more books and stuff like that from ARE.
Well, we can give it out now, too. Go ahead,
sure.
Kev.
They're going to be on the answering service now, but later today, if you call 1-800-333-4499, again, that's 1-800-333-4499, they can send you information about books, membership, activities near you. We actually do programs in Covington, Louisiana, which I don't know how far that is away from you, but we do conferences there a couple times a year.
And we'll give that number out before we're off the air tonight, too, for everybody that is not the 10% that haven't been on the Internet. They're out there.
You know, George, I want, since I saw you last in November, I think, mm-hmm. We've also created a new app that's free called Edgar Casey Co-Creation. You can get it at your app stores, Android, Apple. You can go to edgarcasey.org/coasttocoast. And it's free if you want to, you know, listen to it weekly. You have to pay a little if you want to listen to it every day. But basically it gives you a thought for every day that's 70 to 100 words. It's narrated, beautiful woman's voice, and it really sets the tone for the day. I actually listen to it every day on the way to work. And it's just an incredible app, Edgar Casey Co-Creation, Android and Apple.
I mean, I'm you know, into alternative medicine and health and making sure, you know, you keep your body going the way it should. I am fascinated, and I always have been, Kevin, with Edgar Casey and those medical readings he did. I mean, they're just, I think they're absolutely riveting.
Yeah, absolutely. They are. And in fact, you know, the other day when I was in Australia, we did quite a bit of walking. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen that bridge where they show the fireworks on. We walked back and forth over that bridge, which is a very long way, and then back to the hotel. And I had a real issue with plantar fasciitis, where the bottom of your heel just really swells.
Yes.
Well, I wrapped my heel in castor oil overnight, and the next day I felt so much better. I mean, it helps to alleviate swelling. It's just an amazing thing.
Let's go to Angie in Las Vegas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Angie.
Hi. I'm so excited to be on the show right now. Kevin, listen, this is a fantastic program you have going on. I was given a book about Edgar Casey some years ago, never saw what he looked like, never saw his picture. Had studied him when I was, you know, younger, my teen years. And also growing up in the Philippines, my mother was friends with a faith healer who used to do something similar. She would actually go into a sort of a trance-like state and heal a lot of people in the community. And so she would always prescribe things, you know, herbal-wise and that sort of thing. And one of those things was bitter melon. And I had never, you know, it was for skin. I had skin issues at the time. Forgot all about it. And my mother was always prone to, you know, freezing things in the freezer. And one afternoon, I was sitting on my couch meditating. And it was like quite a few years ago. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, man, I've got to figure out a way to clear up the skin issue, you know. And I started thinking about, you know, I thought about Edgar Casey. I thought about all the things that I had studied in my lifetime. And I remember sitting in the couch in this deep meditative state. And all of a sudden, I started getting this vision of him in my kitchen. It was the weirdest thing. Never saw what he looked like. Never saw a picture of him. And I was asking for, like, guidance, you know, what to use to heal myself of, you know, the skin issue. And I remember getting this crystal clear vision. And at the end of the meditative state, or then I get up, I go into the kitchen, and the freezer door is open, right? And so it's freaking me out. I'm like, oh, my God, this like, really happened. And I can tell you exactly what he looked like. And so, anyway, really quick, I don't have a question. I'm just telling you this story. So I go into the freezer, and I'm thinking, right, why is the freezer door open, you know? And the bitter melon is frozen in there. And I remember her telling me, you know, a while back, if you juice the stuff, it's going to clear your skin up. And I was like, I forgot all about it. It's in the freezer. So a couple of weeks later, a coworker of mine, he's like, oh, hey, you know, I hear you're into all this, you know, metaphysical stuff. I have some books you can have. And he gives me this trilogy-looking, like, stack, and it's Edgar Cayce, and it's got a picture of him, and it's the same picture of what he looked like in my vision. It was the craziest
That's thing. Great.
Yeah, I've actually heard from quite a number of people who had experience where Edgar Cayce came to them as a guide,
helpful insight when they were especially needing
something.
He truly is a spirit guide. I actually do, and you know what I love about your show, you guys are bringing up Archangel Michael and you know, angels. I actually do work with angels. I've had experiences and dreams with them, and I'm a Reiki healer, and so I'm a spiritual teacher. And in 2015, when my father was dying from cancer, I was really having a hard time. And I received, you're going to teach people that they're not sick. Well, I do a page now on Facebook called You Are Not Sick, and I just finished a book called You Are Not Sick. And I was just sitting in my room listening to your program, and I thought, okay, I was looking at your website, and I'm like, wait a minute, he teaches all these different in-depth ways of healing, which, obviously work, right? I've taken herbology at UNLV.
They're amazing. They're amazing, yeah.
But I thought to myself, where does, my work come in, as far as, what I'm going to be teaching? And what it is I'm going to be teaching the gateways of how people get sick. So, he teaches you how to heal the damage, and I'm going to be teaching how you got sick in the first place.
Oh, you got there, yeah.
Yeah. And so I would love more information. I'm going to go on your website and everything. George, you want to be on your show one day?
Get that book done, Angie. Get that book done.
I'm going to be on your show. This is a whole other story.
Okay,
right?
You got it, dear. Thank you. And Cayce was not a healer. He gave healing information, but he didn't heal people directly, did he?
No, he was not an energetic healer or anything, but he prescribed any kind of treatment you can imagine, he prescribed. So it wasn't just holistic health. It was, surgery, everything. In fact, one of the early cases that Ketchum had him do was really unique at the time. There was this man named Mr. Dalton who was about 350 pounds, a construction foreman. He fell into a construction hole, shattered his knee, and he was so heavy, doctors told him he'd never walk again and the knee could not be fixed. Ketchum got a reading, and Cayce prescribed getting two nails from the construction site and described how to hammer the kneecap back into place and to put a cast on it for 6 months.
With nails?
Yeah, with nails.
Ouch!
Which is, pinning a bone is what we would say now, pinning a bone. But at the time, that was totally unheard of. But Ketchum followed the treatment, and Dalton was able to walk again after all that.
Wow. I bet the guy screamed when they hammered nails into his knee.
Well, hopefully he has some kind of morphine or something,
Oh, my gosh. Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I have two questions, one on Cayce, one on angels. On the angels, did Cayce find, I think what the angels might have done in his case and other people's case, they're telling people something that anybody could tell you, but because it's coming from an angel saying, hey, stop drinking soda, it's such a more prominent way of hearing it that you'll more so take heed. And I think also that angels are kind of doing stuff that really is not directly related to a given person, but you might see them and how they're operating and how they're affecting things. And they're showing you that they're there, even though the matter does not directly relate to you. Now on Cayce, I'd ask you, did his drinking and gambling phase trigger any remorse or guilt? I don't think it would have. That was kind of commonplace then. And also, he lost his voice supposedly for upwards of a year where he could barely talk. And did that give him the jitters later on, like that might happen again?
Well, okay, so the drinking and gambling, just to be clear, that was during his lifetime as John Bainbridge in the 1700s.
Right, and that wasn't Casey directly.
Wasn't Casey, right. And he did have the laryngitis, and there were a couple times during his lifetime when he got really stressed. Like, I mean, today we say, you know, we're interested in reincarnation or UFOs or ancient mysteries, and sometimes our family members kind of think that's unusual. Imagine what Edgar Casey had to go through 80, 90, 100 years ago. So sometimes he was really worried about his finances, and when he became extremely stressed, I would say at least half a dozen times, the laryngitis came back, and he would have to go into an altered state, and they'd give him a suggestion that it would be cured. But it was a recurring problem a number of times throughout his life, especially under stress.
Dramatic stuff. Now, did his wife possess any special abilities? Did he teach her anything?
Well, she was, according to both the sons who I knew, she was the most stabilizing influence in the house. That, you know, they had people coming all the time to see Edgar Casey. So, you know, she might be thinking we're going to have dinner for 5 and there'd be 12. So she was always able to make everything work. And he trusted her totally, because early on when he was giving readings, in addition to problems with people like Noah and Ketchum, his father used to conduct readings. And his father was also getting readings on the side that Edgar Casey didn't know about, for gambling, for horse races and things. And it was when he found out his father was doing it that he really decided that he could only trust his wife to conduct the readings from then on. And so she really became a cornerstone for the whole process of giving readings. It was Edgar Casey giving the readings, his wife conducting them, and his secretary taking down in shorthand what he was saying, those three.
Let's go to Jesse in Kona in Hawaii. Welcome to the program. Hi, Jesse.
Aloha. Hey, before I ask my question, I just want to tell you something really cool that just happened.
Sure.
I worked late tonight, and so I just was able to get to my radio during your last commercial break. And as I was turning to it, I said out loud to the universe, I said, it's always UFOs or Bigfoot or ghosts. How come nobody does enough shows about Edgar Casey?
And bang, there it is.
From the commercial, and you said Edgar Casey. So bless your heart and all the hard work you put in to get information like this to people like me. I really appreciate that. So my question is, so if Mr. Casey was able to go into his brain, wherever that door went, to the Akashic Libraries, right?
Right.
So is it possible for a regular person to put a doorway into their head to go get that same information? Is it something that somebody that might not be as magical as Edgar Casey could work on, maybe through hypnosis or meditation? Is there any advice that he ever gave or that you could give that would help a guy like me?
All right, hold on for that answer when we come back for the break. That'll give you a moment or two, Kevin, to think about that. Can everybody access their own Akashic records to help themselves, both in their life and in their health? Our special guest tonight, Kevin Tedeschi, he is running the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, Edgar Casey's Foundation. The website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. The toll-free number to call them, 1-800-333-4499. We are back with our final segment with Kevin Tedeschi as we talk about Edgar Casey. And Kevin, Jesse from Kona in Hawaii wanted to know if individuals can access their own Akashic records. Can they?
Absolutely. Not only can they, but a lot of people don't understand that they actually always do. And if the Akashic records are the source of all information, anytime you do something intuitive, you're somehow accessing at least a portion of those records. And so we've all had the experience where we meet someone for the very first time and we don't like that person, or we meet someone for the very first time and we really like and admire that person. Basically, we're tuning into our relationship with that person from the past. And so we're always tuning into the Akashic records. To do it more consciously, I recommend things like, for example, if Jesse had a question he wanted an answer to, he could write out the question and read it before going to bed and then watch his dreams. I think we've talked about that before on the dream program. So you can get insights from your dreams from the Akashic Records. You can watch for synchronicities, that somehow things that are, you're thinking about something and then once you see an advertisement or you see a newspaper article or something that brings to mind an answer of the thing you were thinking about. Synchronicities a lot of times carry information from the Akashic Records. And then Casey would recommend working with your intuitive development. We have programs in Virginia Beach and online about how you can work with your intuition. And I think all that helps individuals to access their own records.
Let's go to Nick in New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
Good morning, George and Kevin. How are you?
Hi. Good.
I just wanted to say I'm going to work. I heard the show with Edgar Casey. I have this gift where I can use a pendulum and get talk to your guardian angels. And then I decided to try to contact my mother, and I was able to have conversations with my mother. And so I was able to contact the dead. So I one day started talking to Edgar Casey, and I contacted him, and he was giving me answers, yes and no. And to verify this, I see a medium from time to time, and I asked her, and I did it to contact him, and she said, yes, you're talking to him right now. So from time to time, I ask Edgar certain questions, and he has told me certain things. And I asked him about the Great Flood. Things are going to change, and apparently Florida is going to disappear, and parts of Georgia are going to disappear, and Atlanta is going to be the new coastline for Georgia. So it's very interesting. I have a lot of fun doing it, and that was all I wanted to say.
Well, I like that, Nick. And the things you ask Edgar Casey would include what, beyond the coastline things?
Well, the earth is changing, and he says yes. And because I've heard that, you know, certain states are going to disappear. And
yep.
He verified that this is going to happen. So,
all right, that's exciting. What do you think of that, Kevin? Possible?
Well, I think it's possible, definitely. I think it's also possible that all of us get insights from our higher self that sometimes identifies itself as someone or something. So, yes, I think intuitive guidance from people who are like Edgar Casey or people who are like relatives, he mentioned his mother, from our higher self, I think it's all possible.
And for those asking, what is the pendulum? How do you use it? It's a really a ball of something at the end of a cord, which is like a little pendulum. And you depict what yes and no is on a chart, a piece of paper that you can just make yourself. Yes, of course, is up and down. No is left and right. And you create the pendulum right in the middle. And with your mind, you start thinking things. Just think yes, and it starts moving up and down. Think no, it moves the other way. And then stop, it stops right in the middle. Then you ask it yes or no questions. And it's remarkable how it works. But who's giving us those answers, Kevin?
Well, that's the rub right there. I mean, it depends on your level of attunement. So that if someone has just had an argument with someone and tries it, you're going to get a different level of response than if you've just had a brief meditation. So the answer can come from anywhere. The accuracy depends on your attunement. And it's really for that reason that Edgar Casey recommended something similar. And the idea was that whatever question you have in mind, you know, just kind of try to set it aside, try to meditate for 5 or 10 minutes, and then when you're in that perfect moment of quiet, to ask the question again, yes or no, and wait for the answer. And you get a closer, accurate, intuitive response sometimes than you will with a pendulum. But again, the pendulum can work if you are in a state of attunement.
Exactly. And once you're really tuned in, you can use it as a lie detector test.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. Monique's with us in Sunland, California. Hello, Monique. Good morning.
Hello, George and Mr. Tadashi.
Hi.
Kevin,
did I say that right? Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. I had a question regarding angel numbers. Did Edgar Casey used to see those? And I noticed that your phone number has them in it, the 333-4499. And then a second part of that is, it sounds like he was an empath, and it sounds like he got really upset if things didn't go as planned when he was just trying to reach out and help. So those are my two questions.
Okay. So he did talk a lot about numerology, and he did talk a lot about angels. I am not aware of any time when he mixed the two of them together and talked about angelic numbers. And in terms of the phone number, I actually picked that numerologically about 30 years ago. I picked that number specifically. In terms of his empathy, I think that he would say that psychic ability generally worked best if you could empathize with the person who you were trying to help. That if you were trying to prove you were good at psychic, or that somehow you were trying to show your abilities, that was not necessarily as accurate as to really empathize with the person you're trying to work with. And that empathy spilled over to all areas of his life. So yes, I think he was extremely sensitive. Sometimes he'd walk into a room and could become overwhelmed by the people that were in that room. On one occasion when he was with his son, he saw his son was with a group of friends, and Casey walked into the room and he saw which ones were not going to come back from World War II, and he couldn't take it and he left the room. So I think he was overwhelmed at times.
What did he say, Kevin, about the dead in the afterlife?
He said that the dead, especially our relatives, are very much concerned with us, and that they oftentimes hang around as guides. On one occasion, interesting story, he had lost the hospital building. He was having problems with finances. He was really upset. Doctors had told him he needed to rest, recommended he go to the Southwest. He was in Arizona or New Mexico, and while there, he was in a cattle field, really depressed, and all at once his mother appeared to him. She'd been dead for 9 years, and reassured him and gave him a silver dollar, and a Liberty silver dollar. And when she left, the silver dollar was still with him, which is an amazing, I don't know how she did it. But anyway, he took it as reinsurance that whatever he needed would be provided if he had the faith. So he would say that oftentimes our dead relatives hang around as guides and really want to encourage us.
Jamie's with us in Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Jamie. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Good evening, George and Kevin.
Hi.
I guess I wanted to say that, you know, I've prayed a lot, you know, just to the point where it's almost, you know, was nonstop. And through this whole thing, I guess I would say I haven't really seen anything that's really helped me. My life's just gotten worse and worse and worse. My father ended up passing away. He had a 3% chance. He passed away. His girlfriend, a car mechanic, stole from the estate.
Oh.
The house is being sold on auction Tuesday, which our family owned for 31 years. They said that, you know, I do have some illnesses, and then they were saying that they had thought that I had blood cancer, which hopefully it's only, it's polycythemia, which hopefully it's only a secondary. So I went through all that, and, you know, I kept thinking, hey, you know, life's going to get better. Come on, let's be positive and everything else. And, you know, was looking to get a job, went and fell, broke bones, had injured, you know, my arm, had broke that all up, the elbow, the shoulder, the knee, the hip, the back, the neck. And, you know, it just seemed like it just never, ever gets any better. I mean, you know, I'm supposed to be out of the house. Don't even have the money for, you know, U-Haul, you know, had even contacted a church. They're like, they're too busy. And the only thing that ever really gave me comfort is my dogs. And I have this German Shepherd dog that saved my life in 2010. And she is right now dying from ALS. And, you know, it's been a really hard thing to take, you know. The vehicles, there are two vehicles that were stolen from us, and the vehicles are on the blink. You know, I had even called a government program to take me to the hospital one time. I had an appointment with a hematologist-oncologist, and they canceled an hour before. And I said, how can you do this? You know, this man is, you know, it costs a lot for a doctor like this, and he's being stood up because of a program when you guys knew a couple days ahead of time. I mean, it is constantly. I went for a job, even with the broken bones, and the car wouldn't even start. So by the time we got there,
you were late.
I was late. I had called in, but they fired me anyways. And, you know, I mean, it is constant. And then you just kind of think to yourself, okay, if there's guardian angels, where's mine?
That's a good question. Jimmy, one thing we're going to do is put you on the prayer list, which is done on Fridays, just for things to start getting a little better. But where are the angels in a case like this, Kev?
Well, the challenge is sometimes we become so overwhelmed with the things that have been going on in our life. And I can say that there have been times in my life when that had occurred with me, and it's really hard to see the light. So what I recommend doing when that occurs is to just every morning when you get up, pray something like, God, show me the way, or Lord, what would you have me do this day? And when you go to sleep, say the same thing.
I mean, it's almost like somebody put a curse on the family or something.
Well, do I believe in curses? I believe that it's possible, but I think that if you're balanced and in alignment, they're not going to work. So I think that as long as you keep trying and say, Lord, what would you have me do? You'll be shown the way. I had this one challenge once where I was depressed for 6 weeks. I drank lots of martinis. I didn't know what to do. And finally, I asked for a dream, God, what would you have me do? And that night, I had a perfect dream that solved the problem. So I think it is possible if you're just committed to finding the answer, you will be shown the way.
Jeff's in Juneau, Alaska, first-time caller. Let's squeeze you in here, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Hey, George. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm a little bit confused. So I don't want to come off as combative or...
No, don't worry about that.
Or anything. I appreciate your zeal and your work. But when you say that Edgar Casey was a Christian or that he loved Jesus, and then you say that he believed all this stuff that is just totally against what the Bible says, it's totally opposite. Mediumship is forbidden in the Bible. It's forbidden to go to a medium and seek out things. It's forbidden in the Bible. The book of Revelation is not about the Endocrine system. I could just tell that when you said that, I don't think you've ever read it.
I've read it from cover to cover. Yeah.
Well, now let's address a little bit of that while
sure,
we can, Kev, with the minute or so we have left.
Sure. So I got to speak quickly, but it's let's start about what the Bible says. The Bible is filled with stories of reincarnation. Let me tell you one as the answer. When Jesus was with his apostles, they didn't realize he was the Messiah. And all at once on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's surrounded by light. And those that are with him think, oh, my God, he is the Messiah. So one of them says, you know, there's this Old Testament prophecy that Elijah will return before the coming of the Messiah. If you're the Messiah, who's Elijah? And Jesus told them, I tell you, Elijah has come, and they knew him not, and they knew he was speaking of John the Baptist. So Jesus is saying that John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah. And all through the Bible, starting with Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in the Old Testament, all the way up through Herod and Jesus going into Egypt to escape Herod's wrath, people use their psychic ability and their dreams for guidance. So I think that there are people who handpick things out of the Bible. For example, I believe it's Deuteronomy that if your teenager is unruly, you can put the child to death. I don't think anyone would take that as fact today. So it's important when reading any book, whether it's the Bible or the Edgar Casey material, to use comparative study to see what in fact is going on. Read the Revelation. Casey said to read the Revelation with the idea of the body and mind. And if you send me an email at ceo@edgarcasey.org, I will send you a book that describes line by line what the Revelation is all about.
And for people who want the book for free to join ARE, where do they email?
If you want to join ARE and get the Angel book for free, it's edgarcasey.org/coast-to-coast, and it's got a landing page for the membership and the book, and also a link to the Edgar Casey co-creation app.
Super. Kevin, keep in touch with us. You're a great guest. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasore, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Bedall, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.